To CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples. Find us online at cjsf.ca, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Biology of Belief, Unleashing the Power of Consciousness, Matter, and Miracles by Bruce H. Lipton, PhD. We were looking at the chapter, The New Physics and Its Relationship to the New Biology. Hundreds and hundreds of scientific studies over the last 50 years have consistently revealed that invisible forces of the electromagnetic spectrum profoundly impact every facet of biological regulation. These energies include microwaves, radio frequencies, the visible light spectrum, extremely low frequencies, acoustic frequencies, and even the newly recognized form of force known as scalar energy. Specific frequencies and patterns of electromagnetic radiation regulate DNA, RNA, and protein synthesis, alter protein shape and function, control gene regulation, cell division, cell differentiation, morphogenesis, the process by which cells assemble into organs and tissues, hormone secretion, and nerve growth and function. Each one of these cellular activities is the fundamental behavior that contributes to the unfolding of life. Through these research studies have been published in some of the most respected mainstream biomedical journals, the revolutionary findings have not been incorporated into the medical school curriculum. An important study 40 years ago by Oxford University's biophysicist C.W.F. McClare calculated and compared the efficiency of information transfer between energy signals and chemical signals in biological systems. His research, Resonance and Bioenergetics, published in the Annals of the New York Academy of Science, revealed that energetic signaling mechanisms such as electromagnetic frequencies are 100 times more efficient in relaying environmental information than physical signals such as hormones, neurotransmitters, and growth factors, etc. It is not surprising that energetic signals are so much more efficient. In physical molecules, the information that can be carried is directly linked to a molecule's available energy. However, the chemical coupling employed to transfer the information is accompanied by a massive loss of energy due to the heat generated in making and breaking chemical bonds. Because thermochemical coupling wastes most of the molecule's energy, the small amount of energy that remains limits the amount of information that can be carried as the signal. We know that living organisms must receive and interpret environmental signals in order to stay alive. In fact, survival is directly related to the speed and efficiency of signal transfer. The speed of electromagnetic energy equals 186,000 miles per second, more or less, while the speed of a diffusible chemical is considerably less than 1 centimeter per second. Energy signals are 100 times more efficient and infinitely faster than physical chemical signals. What kind of signaling would your trillion-celled community prefer? Buying the farm. I believe the major reason why energy research has been all but ignored comes down to dollars and cents. The trillion-dollar pharmaceutical industry puts its research money into the search for magic bullets in the form of chemicals because pills mean money. If energy healing could be made in tablet form, drug manufacturers would get interested very quickly. Instead, they identify deviations in physiology and behavior that vary from some hypothetical norm as unique disorders or dysfunctions. And then they educate the public about the dangers of these menacing disorders. Of course, the oversimplified symptomology used in defining the dysfunctions prevalent in drug company advertisements has viewers convinced that they are afflicted by that particular malady. Do you worry? Worry is a primary symptom of medical condition called anxiety disorder. Stop your worry. Tell your doctor you want Addictase, a new passion pink drug. Meanwhile, the media essentially avoids the issue of deaths by medicine by directing our attention to the dangers of illicit drugs. They admonish us that using drugs to escape life's problems is not the way to resolve one's issue. Funny, I was just going to use that exact sentence to describe my concerns about the overuse of legal drugs. Are they dangerous? Ask the people who died last year. Using prescription drugs to silence the body's symptoms enables us to ignore personal involvement we may have with the onset of these symptoms. The overuse of prescription drugs provides a vacation from personal responsibility. Our drug mania reminds me of a job at an auto dealership I held when I was in graduate school. At 4:30 on a Friday afternoon, an irate woman came into the shop. Her car's service engine light was flashing, even though her car had already been repaired for that same problem several times. At 4:30 on a Friday afternoon, who wants to work on a bulky problem and deal with a furious customer? Everyone was quiet, except for one mechanic who said, "I'll take care of it." He drove the car back into the bay, got in behind the dashboard, removed the bulb from the signal light, and threw it away. Then he opened a can of soda and lit a cigarette. After a suitable time, during which the customer thought he was actually fixing the car, the mechanic returned and told the woman her car was ready. Thrilled to see that the warning light had stopped flashing, she happily drove off into the sunset. Though the cause of the problem was still present, the symptom was gone. Similarly, pharmaceutical drugs suppress the body's symptoms, but most never address the actual root cause of the problem. Wait, you say. Times have changed. We are now more educated to the dangers of drugs and more open to alternative therapies. It is true that because half of Americans visit complementary health practitioners, traditional doctors can no longer put their heads in the sand and hope other approaches go away. Insurance companies have even started to pay for services they deem quackery, and major teaching hospitals allow a limited number of such practitioners inside their walls. But even today, very little scientific rigor has been marshaled to assess the effectiveness of complementary medicine. The National Institutes of Health did create an alternate medicine branch, thanks to extreme pressure from the public. but that is only a token gesture to quell activists and consumers who spend lots of money on alternate health care. There are no serious research funds available for studying energy medicine. The rub is that without supportive research, energy-based healing modalities are officially labeled as, quote-unquote, unscientific. Good vibes, bad vibes, and the language of energy. Though conventional medicine still has not focused on the role energy plays as information in biological systems, ironically, it has embraced non-invasive scanning technologies which reach such energy fields. Quantum physicists have created energy scanning devices that can analyze the frequencies emitted by specific chemicals. These scanning systems enable scientists to identify the molecular composition of materials and objects. Physicists have adopted these devices to read the energy spectra emitted by our body's tissues and organs. Because energy fields travel easily through the physical body, these modern devices, such as CAT scans, MRIs, and positron emission tomography, PET scans, can detect disease non-invasively. Physicians are able to diagnose internal problems by differentiating the spectral energy character of healthy and diseased tissue in the scanned images. The energy scan illustrated reveals that the presence of breast cancer, the diseased tissue emits its own unique energy signature, which differs from the energy emitted by the surrounding healthy cells. The energy signatures that pass through our bodies travel through space as invisible waves that resemble ripples in a pond. If you drop a pebble into a pond, the energy carried from the falling pebble, due to the force of gravity pulling on its mass, is transmitted to the water. The ripples generated by the pebble are actually energy waves passing through the water. If more than one pebble is thrown into the water at the same time, the spreading ripples, energy waves from each source can interfere with each other, forming composite waves where two or more ripples converge. The interference can be either constructive, energy amplifying, or destructive, energy deflating. Dropping two pebbles of the same size from the same height and exactly the same time coordinates the wave action of their ripples. The ripples from each pebble converge on each other. Where the ripples overlap, the combined power of the interacting waves is doubled, a phenomenon referred to as constructive interference or harmonic resonance. When the dropping of the pebbles is not coordinated, their energy waves are out of sync. As one wave is going up, the other one is going down. At the point of convergence, these out-of-sync energy waves actually cancel each other out. Instead of a doubling of the energy where the ripples interfere with each other, the water is calm. There is no energy wave at that point. This phenomena of canceling energy waves is called destructive interference. The behavior of energy waves is important for biomedicine because vibrational frequencies can alter the physical and chemical properties of an atom as surely as physical signals like histamine and estrogen. Because atoms are in constant motion, which you can measure by their vibration, they create wave patterns similar to the expanding ripples from thrown pebbles we talked about earlier. Each atom is unique because the distribution of its negative and positive charges, coupled with its spin rate, generates a specific vibration or frequency pattern. Scientists have derived a way to stop an atom dead in its tracks by exploiting its energy waves. They first identify the frequency of the specific atom and then tune a laser to emit the same frequency. Though the atom and the photoelectric frequency emits the same wave pattern, the laser's waves are designed to be out of sync with those of the atom. When the light wave interacts with the atom's wave, The resulting destructive interference cancels the atom's vibrations and stops it from spinning. When you want to enhance rather than stop atoms, you find vibrations that create harmonic resonance. These vibrations can be electromagnetic or acoustic in origin. When, for example, a skilled vocalist like Ella Fitzgerald maintains a note that is harmonically resonant with the atoms of the crystal goblet, the goblet's atom absorb her sound waves. Through the mechanics of constructive interference, the added energy of resonant sound waves causes the goblet's atoms to vibrate faster and faster. Eventually, the atoms absorb so much energy that they vibrate fast enough to break free of the bonds that hold them together. When that happens, the goblet actually explodes. Doctors use constructive interference mechanics to treat kidney stones, a rare case where the laws of quantum mechanics have been harnessed as a therapeutic tool in modern medicine. Kidney stones are crystals whose atoms vibrate at a specific frequency. Doctors non-invasively focus the harmonic energy on the kidney stone. Constructive interference results when a focused energy wave interacts with the atoms in the kidney stones. Like the atoms in the crystal goblet given earlier, the atoms in the kidney stone vibrate so quickly that the stone explodes and dissolves. The small remaining fragments can then be easily passed from the system without the excruciating pain that accompanies large unexploded stones. The science of physics implies that the same harmonic resonant mechanism by which sound waves destroy a goblet or a kidney stone can enable similar energy harmonics to influence functions of our body's chemistry. But biologists have not explored these mechanisms with a passion with which they now pursue new drugs. That is unfortunate because there is enough scientific evidence to suspect that we can tailor a waveform as a therapeutic agent in much the same way as we now modulate chemical structures with drugs.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We have been looking at the biology of belief, unleashing the power of consciousness, matter, and miracles by Bruce H. Lipton, PhD. We're looking at the chapter, The Application of the New Physics to Biology. There was a time in medicine when electrotherapy was used extensively. At the end of the 19th century, the development of batteries and other devices that produce electromagnetic fields led to hastily constructed machines that were supposed to cure disease. The public sought out practitioners of this newfangled healing art called radiesthesia. Word spread that these devices were very effective. In fact, they became so popular that magazines were likely to tout ads that read something like, "Be a radiesthesist. Only $9.99, includes instructions." By 1894, over 10,000 U.S. physicians, as well as an untold number of self-trained home consumers, were regularly using electrotherapy. In 1895, D.D. Palmer created a science of chiropractic. Palmer recognized that the flow of energy through the nervous system is critical to health. He focused on the mechanics of the vertebrae column, the conduit through which the spinal nerves provide information to the body. He developed skills to assess and tune the flow of information by adjusting the backbone's tensions and pressures. The medical profession became threatened by Palmer's chiropractors, as well as the homeopathic healers, radio aestheticists, and other drugless practitioners who were taking away much of their business. The Carnegie Foundation published the Flexner Report in 1910 that called for all medical practices to be based on proven science. Because physicists had not yet discovered the quantum universe, energy medicine was incomprehensible to science. Denounced by the American Medical Association, chiropractic and other energy-based modalities fell into disrepute. Radio aestheticists disappeared almost completely. In the last 40 years, chiropractic has made great inroads into the healing arts. In 1990, chiropractors won a lengthy court battle against the medical monopoly when the American Medical Association was found guilty of illegal attempts to destroy the profession. Since then, chiropractic has spread its sphere of influence. It is even accepted in some hospitals. And despite electrotherapy's checkered past, neuroscientists are conducting exciting new research into the area of vibrational energy therapies. The brain has long been recognized as to be an electrical organ, which is why electroshock therapy has historically been used to treat depression. But scientists are now working on less invasive tools to treat the electric brain. A recent article in Science touted the beneficial effects of transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, which stimulates the brain with magnetic fields. TMS is an updated version of the same 19th century radioesthesia healing technique that were once denounced by conventional medicine. New studies suggest that TMS can be a powerful therapeutic tool. If used properly, it can ease depression and alter cognition. It is clear that we need interdisciplinary research in this promising and understudied area. Research that encompasses quantum physics, electrical engineering, chemistry, as well as biology. Such research will be particularly welcome because it is likely to result in therapies with far fewer side effects than drugs. The research will only confirm what scientists and neuroscientists already know, but may not realize that they know. All organisms, including humans, communicate and read their environment by evaluating energy fields. Because humans are so dependent on spoken and written language, we have neglected our energy sensing communication system. As with any biological function, a lack of use leads to atrophy. Interestingly, Aborigines still utilize this hypersensory capacity in their daily lives. For them, there has been no sensory atrophy. For example, Australian Aborigines can sense water buried beneath the sand, and Amazonian shamans communicate with the energies of their medicinal plants. You, no doubt, on occasion get a glimmer of your ancestral sensing mechanisms. Have you ever walked down a dark street at night and instantly felt drained of energy? What were you experiencing? Destructive interference, just like out-of-sync pebbles thrown into a pond, or in popular jargon, bad vibes. Remember, unexpectedly meeting that special someone in your life and becoming so energized that you've actually felt quote-unquote high. You were experiencing constructive interference or good vibes. When I gave up my view that we are inert matter, I realized not only that the science of my chosen career was out of date, but also that I needed to promote more conservative interference in my own life. I needed a personal quantum physics-inspired tune-up. Rather than focusing on creating harmonic energies in my life, I was going through life willy-nilly, mindlessly expending energy. That is the equivalent of heating a house in the dead of winter while leaving the doors and windows open. I started, for the first time, closing these doors and windows by carefully examining where I was actually wasting my energy. It was easy for me to close some of them, for example. It was easy to get rid of energy-draining activities like those deadly faculty parties. It was, however, much harder to get rid of the energy-draining, defeatist thinking in which I had habitually engaged. Thoughts consume energy as surely as done marathon running, as we will see in subsequent chapters. What I desperately needed was a quantum tune-up. And so I made clear, does biological medicine. But as I said earlier, we are already in the midst of a very slow shift in medicine propelled by consumers who are seeking out complementary medical practitioners in record numbers. It's been a long time in coming, but the quantum biological revolution is on us. The medical establishment will eventually be dragged, half kicking and part screaming, full force into this quantum revolution. Chapter 5, Biology and Belief. In 1952, a young British physician made a serious mistake. It was a mistake that was to bring short-lived scientific glory to Dr. Albert Mason. Mason tried to treat a 15-year-old boy's warts using hypnosis. Mason and other doctors had successfully used hypnosis to get rid of warts, but this was a especially tough case. The boy's leathery skin looked more like elephant hide than humans, except for his chest, which had normal skin. Mason's first hypnosis session focused on one arm. When the boy was in a hypnotic trance, Mason told him that the skin on that arm would heal and turn into healthy pink skin. When the boy came back a week later, Mason was gratified to see that the arm looked healthy. Mason was gratified to see that the arm looked healthy, but when Mason brought the boy to a referring surgeon, who had unsuccessfully tried to help the boy with skin grafts, he learned that he had made a medical error. The surgeon's eyes were wide with astonishment when he saw the boy's arm. It was then that he told Mason that the boy was suffering not from warts, but from a lethal genetic disease called congenital ichthyosis. By reversing the symptoms using only the power of the mind, Mason and the boy had accomplished what had until that time been considered impossible. Mason continued the hypnosis sessions with the stunning result that most of the boy's skin came to look like his healthy pink arm after the first hypnosis session. The boy, who had been mercilessly teased at school because of his grotesque-looking skin, went back to lead a normal life. We're going to continue looking in subsequent shows this book, The Biology of Belief, which looks at some really interesting connections between quantum mechanics and the new biology. And so please stay tuned for further shows.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.